Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast. I'm your host, Becky Barber, and I'm a master life and relationship coach.
I'm your host, Kristen Dicker, and I'm a transformational health and wellness life coach.
If you're curious about what self-love is, you've come to the right place.
Each week, we'll dive deeper into the steps it takes to develop self-love. Here we go.
Welcome to the Try Self-Love podcast. This is episode 10 on codependency part 2. Kristen, how are you doing? Welcome.
I am good. I love this topic and I'm really excited to just dig into it yet again. So here we go with that, right? How are you?
I agree. I'm great. Thank you. Yes, let's get into this. Before we begin too deep, we want to thank everyone for being here with us. Codependency is kind of a tricky subject. And so I wanted to make a little bit of a distinction for those wondering if they are codependent or not. It goes beyond helping someone who's struggling that you love. It's more than just being comforted by their presence or not wanting them to leave. It's different than those sacrifices you occasionally make to help someone you love. Codependency is this constant worry. You're trying to anticipate needs. You're trying to rescue, trying to help. You're preoccupied with how they're doing, much more than tuning in to see how you're doing. You're concerned about their behavior, what they're doing, what they're not doing. And your mood really depends on how they're doing. What do you think, Kristen? Anything to add?
That was beautifully stated. I really resonate with all of that. And I can understand how that manifests. Because you do naturally want to please the people you love. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with, I love my husband, I love my children, I love my friends and family. So what you're saying is like, it's extra. It's like, but it's more. It's like really dependent on how the other person is feeling and acting that determines how you feel about yourself. So I really, really enjoy and appreciate what you just said. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. I will give a shout out to Healthline and we'll have a link in our show notes that this article about this. But we wanted to get into maybe identifying if you're codependent and then some steps to take to back out of that. So we gave you a little bit of a litmus test. You could ask yourself those questions. You really need to be willing to step back and evaluate honestly. Do I have a lot of people in my life that have a lot of needs? And do I have a hard time asking for help? Those are two big clues. And I have had moments and years, actually, where the answer is yes to both. What about you, Kristen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like the more you are a giver, the more you attract the takers, too. So especially if you were primed as a child to give because you were maybe made to feel like if you don't give, you're somehow selfish or you're a bad kid or something if you don't take care of other people. And your needs were never really paid mind to. And you just learn that, you know, why even ask? I'm not going to get it. I'm going to get in trouble for asking. In fact, I'm going to be called names if I ask, or I'm going to maybe get hit if I ask. So you start to just really attract a lot of people in your life and you might find yourself completely surrounded by almost no one reciprocating, caring about you and caring for you and helping you. And when you ask for help, they may even tell you that you're selfish or that you're, you know, just a really, really bad person because you are so needy. And it might be the first time you've ever asked for help, you know, which always boggles my mind and makes me so upset. And it kind of fills you, at least for me, it fills you with rage and like anger. Like, what? I've never asked you for anything. And I'm asking you for one thing and you act like I'm asking you for everything all the time. That's not true. And now you get into this, please validate me mode, right? Please tell me please tell me I'm always helping you and you're never helping me. Tell me that's true. And they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you that. I promise you that. Most of them are not going to tell you, yeah, I'm a taker.
Right. So, yeah. No, but you bring up a good point. I mean, the more enmeshed you are, the harder it will be to kind of untangle yourself. And so be prepared for a little bit of resistance, especially from the people who are benefiting from your willingness to jump in and rescue and solve their problems.
Yeah, people don't always really like it when you change on them. You know, you want to change. Let's say you want to get healthy and you want to love yourself and you want to tune in and turn in and like really love yourself and claim your own needs and things like that. Support yourself and have boundaries and all these wonderful things. And the people who are used to you giving to them may not like that. They may really be, like you say, resistant to it. They may really be mean to you about it, abusive. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen when you start to put yourself first. But, you know, which is better to deal with the fact that somebody might be very angry with you. And like I said, they could be very angry, or just continuing to shovel your feelings under the rug and make peace, you know, quote unquote peace, in order to get by. You're really, really, really attacking yourself when you do that. You're abusing yourself when you do that. So at some point, you may not be able to stand that anymore. You may have to make a decision that I'm going to now put myself out there first and then do what I need to do, no matter what, you know, anyone else says.
Yeah, that is the key. And that can be really difficult. So we're really going to break it down this episode. I mean, we're talking baby step boundaries. The first one to start doing, if you think this applies to you, this codependent relationship, is just take a little step back, just a tiny step back. You're not abandoning the person. The relationship doesn't have to end. But if they bring up a problem, instead of jumping in, offering solutions, sending them a million articles that you've researched for them, just listen. Listen with love. And stop yourself, because you're going to want to jump in and rescue. It's going to feel good to help someone else. You feel valuable. You don't have to think about what's going on in your life. But just stop. Try not to do it this time. Unless they ask you. If someone asks for your advice, that's fine. But if they're just venting, okay, you're just a listening ear, and that's great. That's okay. You don't have to do more than that. That's enough. The next step is practicing saying no. And you can be as polite as you want. Sorry, I can't right now. Thank you so much for offering or inviting me. I'd love to another time. Things like that. Try really hard to stick with that. And if it's something you want to do, do it. But if it's something you don't have to. So just slowly try and say no once in a while and see how that feels. Before you commit to something, question. Why am I doing this? Is it obligation? Do I feel guilty? Do I believe this person can't handle it on their own? Right? Ask yourself, do I really want to? Is this going to ruin the rest of my day? Am I going to be really tired helping this person move? This is their fourth move in the last 10 years. Like, maybe that's not a lot, but we move much more than that. But anyway, you need to evaluate, like, what am I willing to give that keeps us in a good balance?
Great. Those are beautiful. I thought about a few things when you were saying those. The listening with love, I kind of also think of it as just kind of holding space for them to vent or say what they need to say. And as a fixer, I can attest to the fact that there have been a lot of times in my life, still a work in progress. By the way, healing is a work in progress. It's not linear. So remember to allow yourself the permission to take as much time as you need with any of these things we're talking about, and with it, with loving yourself. Nobody teaches us how to love ourselves in this world. And so if you don't get it right away and it doesn't stick right away, don't give up. It will. And you're making progress. It's just not, it's about presence, not perfection. Okay. It's progress. It's not being perfect the first time, because, you know, when somebody's telling you something they're doing that you don't agree with, you might want to interrupt them and fix them, right? You might tell them all the solutions they need to have in order to make it, because it worked for me, so it'll work for you. And that might not be the right thing for them. And also that if you take a pause and you step back, you can actually decide maybe they are the expert in their lives and I don't need to rescue them in this moment. Maybe I can internally think, close your mouth, just breathe, don't say a word. Like, it's a practice, right? Just stay mindful of this. And then the other thing I thought about was saying no. When you say no to people the first time, the first 100 times, I hope it's not that many, but it might be, you're going to probably feel guilty. You've been
right
doing this thing so you won't be abandoned and so they won't reject you and so that they won't think you're a bad person. You've been pleasing and seeking approval for so long, maybe since day one of your life, for all you know. And You know, if you're old like me, you know, that's a long, long time. So saying no to people right away the first few times, it makes you feel like, oh, am I going to be abandoned? Are they going to hate me? I feel really bad. It's okay. Say no, step back, breathe again. I said no because it's not good for me. You know, write it down. Why is it good for me? Why is it good for me to say yes to me right now? Don't think of it as no to them. Think of it as yes to me. That helps, I think. That really helps. So I thought of those things. So yeah, great steps.
Yeah, I love that you brought that up. I think that's important for all of us to remember is it might not feel good. It probably won't. And that doesn't mean that it's the wrong thing to do. We tend to look at our feelings like our feelings are always right, but our feelings are not always right. Feelings are valid, but they're not logical. So I invite our listeners to go back to episode 2, where we talk about like looking at our thoughts and feelings and getting more in tune with ourselves. That's a good episode to get back into, like, into yourself. But if you are able to practice saying no and it feels really bad, meditate on it. Pray about it. Talk to a trusted friend who can give you an accurate view of, hey, it's okay to say no. You weren't mean. You weren't telling them you never want to see them again. It was a one thing, one time where you're like, I can't, thank you, maybe next time. And breathe that in. It's okay. You're allowed to be able to make your own rules. It's okay.
Yeah. I also wanted to say along the lines of asking a friend, you know, people usually have more compassion for them, for other people than themselves, which is a little lead in foreshadowing to our next episode, but but I won't go on too much about that. But you know, when we ask a friend for help, typically our friends want to help us, right? I mean, everyone kind of wants to help each other, so they will be able to see it with a clearer set of eyes, you know, and they'll be more objective to your situation, and they can often help you shift your mindset and, you know, come up with new solutions for yourself. And so that is a good idea, like to meditate, pray, talk to a friend. I think that's a great idea. Also, a thing I like to always mention to people, that, which I find to be helpful for me anyway, when I hear myself saying it, it's a reminder, you know, let the people in your life who are adults, adult. You don't need to change your diapers. Some adults, you might need to change their diapers if you take care of a family member or you're a healthcare worker. But, you know, but typically, you know, let them figure it out. They've gotten this far in their lives and they can do it. Just have faith in them. Have trust. Trust other people to take care of themselves, right?
That's a good point. And I want to invite you to tell your listeners what you were telling me earlier about codependency being an addiction, because I think of all different kinds of addictions that we use to try and escape our emotions. But when you said that codependency is an addiction, I was like, yes, let's share that.
Yeah, it is. It's like the thoughts we have, a lot of them are just thought forms. They're just the past repeating the danger of what may happen in the future. And so we get into a pattern, you know, loop in our mind about, oh, well, if I don't help, then this is going to happen and that's going to happen and they're going to die. And then, you know, you go down this rabbit hole and we are addicted to that drama. And that's the drama that we create in ourselves that we then create with other people, right? You come up with a scenario, the story that this person did this and doesn't like you. And if they don't get the help they need from you, they're going to be mad. And, you know, you create a whole like soap opera in your head, right? Those are fun to watch, but living it is really, really painful. Once we step away from our thinking like that, we realize, wow, I can be so much more present and I can actually tend to my needs now. And it's an addiction though, you know, like all of us, I think I'm going to say all of us, I don't have a percentage, but I'm sure of it. This is the way the world is. We all have a tendency to not be very mindful, to be mindless in a sense by just, you know, insanely, it's insanity. It's not calling somebody insane, but it's insane that we listen so closely, but it's an addiction. It's like, I would rather think about these things or go help somebody than pay attention to myself because I don't want to even know what's going on in there. It's got to be bad, right? So yeah, it is an addiction. It's an addiction like drugs or alcohol or food or shopping or gambling or anything, really.
Yeah, and even though we've created that, we did not do it on purpose, of course. And we know this stems from the truest of intentions of helping someone, but I always laugh when you're like, let the adults be the adults, because it's so true. I mean, it really, as you mentioned in a private conversation, like, it's insulting to think that you would need to help an adult do adult things in their own life, because they can do it, especially if they're allowed to do it on their own and encouraged to do so. They'll be able to do it. Before we end, I just wanted to say this is all learned in childhood, as we mentioned last week. These are coping mechanisms that you adopted before you even could speak, probably. You certainly weren't telling yourself, well, I'm going to take care of everyone else around me for the rest of my life. This is what I have to do. It wasn't that logical. It's how you were raised. This is something that you can unlearn, and we are here to help. I encourage you, if this is really taking over your life, to either meet with a counselor or get a coach, because really this is important and it can change your life and make it so much better, not just for you, but for the people that you're enmeshed with. Any last thoughts, Kristen?
I do want to say one more thing about interdependency, which in relationships, that's what you want to strive for. You both work to help each other achieve your goals. And in a codependent relationship, you're out of balance. And that's the last thing I want to say about that. Yes, we both work closely with our clients on codependency and shifting these difficult relationships with ourselves and other people. And we definitely have a lot of experience, a lot of wisdom that we offer, as well as just we hold space. You know, we hold space for you to come up with your own clues and decisions about how you want to lead your life. But the goal, I feel, should be to really love yourself. Really, really love yourself, because it's not selfish to love yourself. It really, really is self-love. It's really soulful. It's very helpful for other people. When you love yourself, you hold space for them to love themselves. It's a nice little domino effect, actually. So yeah, this has been a great conversation, and thank you so much for leading this today, Becky. It was great.
Kristen, it's always a pleasure talking with you. And before we go, we just want to invite our listeners to join our free private Facebook group. It's Try Self-Love. You can ask us any questions. We'll be the ones responding, and we would love to be your coach. We are coaches who love to coach. So there's information there and in our show notes how to get with us. So take care and have a great week.
Bye.
Bye. If you like what you've been learning about self-love, come join us in our free Facebook group, Try Self-Love. We'd also appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. That way your friends and family and others who need us can find us.
We're so glad you're here. See you next week.